Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, book banners lose. Also, Steve Marshall wants to be a bounty hunter. And the federal courts call the legislature's bluff.
Must have left my wallet in my room.
Don't hand me into that crap. When you come to a game like this, you bring your money. How do I know you won't take a powder?
No. High stakes for the Voting Rights Act. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, columnist and investigative reporter at APR, and Andy's father.
That's probably the last one should have probably come first, I think. So.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say, hey guys, but Bill, I'm awfully proud of you.
What did I do?
You had your redistricting story was on the Joey Reid Show on MSNBC this week for an entire segment. They used it to actually guide themselves through the segment of what's going on with redistricting in Alabama.
It's not as important as being Andy's father.
No, it's a close second, though. It's a close second.
You know, that whole thing with redistricting, I mean, our audience is pretty aware that Alabama drew maps of the congressional districts that absolutely defied the court order. And when they went before the three panel judges, the federal court judges, the judges said, you defied our order. We've never seen anyone defy a court order like this before. Mm-hmm. And Alabama was like, so what?
Yeah. So, well, you know, we have. Yeah. It was back during the Jim Crow era, we did it a lot. You know?
Yeah. Nothing new for Alabama.
Yeah.
But the thing is now they've appointed a special master, Richard Allen, mm-hmm. to draw the maps with the guy that does the maps. Mm-hmm. They're going to draw new maps. But Alabama, as we expected and as we have reported, filed suit to appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. And Josh, that was the plan all along, wasn't it?
Yes. This was the reason for the defiance. You know, this plan came from the AG's office. Came from Steve Marshall and Edmund LaCour, who's the Solicitor General. They went over and they essentially drew this map for the Republicans in the House and Senate and the state. Drew up a map, forced it on them, explained to them what the plan was. There's a fix it's in. A lot of people believe to get justice. Kavanaugh to flip his vote. They believe they have an in there that they can exploit in some way, and they have believed that they have been given some indication that Kavanaugh is willing to consider flipping on the majority that overruled these maps the last time and ultimately killing the Voting Rights Act once and for all. And I don't think that should ever be overshadowed, that this would be the absolute death of the Voting Rights Act and a detriment and blow to black voters all across this country, should that happen?
Well, they do have an in fact, with Kavanaugh, in that LaCour's wife, Alice, actually helped him get nominated for that seat.
Yeah, on his confirmation team, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
That is Edmund LaCour, who is the Solicitor General, who we understand helped draw the maps and put this plan together. Steve Marshall also hired a law firm with close ties to Justice Thomas and Justice Kavanaugh. And this group is backed by this Marble Trust, which is a right-wing group that has $1.6 billion in the bank or in their access to $1.6 billion to try to influence things like judicial races, the Supreme Court, redistricting, and everything. They have a goal, a very narrow goal, of turning this country into a Christian nationalist society. At least that's my understanding. And they have a lot of money.
Oh, they don't make any secrets about that. Listen, you're not going out on a limb. They don't make any secrets about that. All right, that's exactly what they want to do. They believe it's somehow or another they read a different constitution and different papers than all the rest of us read from the founders of this country and from all the court decisions that have come down over the years about what the purpose and intent and the separation of church and state, freedoms of religion and speech and so forth have meant. They believe it means something different than all the rest of us, and that they're smarter than us. And if you have enough money, apparently you can influence the state, the country's highest court, in such a way that you can kind of get your way on a lot of stuff.
The thing that really astounds me about this idea of Christian nationalism is we live in Alabama, and I can't find three churches in the same neighborhood that agree on exactly what Christian doctrine is.
Yeah.
Right? So how are we, who's going to decide what the doctrine is in the end?
I think we shake all that out after the war. But I mean, it's honestly, it's insanity. It's, you know, as I tell people all the time, before the founders started with our Constitution and Bill of Rights, all the pages were blank. All right? There was nothing on them. They could put anything they wanted to on them. And what they chose to put on them is a country that had religious freedom, where the Muslim had the same right as the Christian. And you can talk about Christian nationalism and the Christian nation and all that, but you're wrong. You're just flat wrong.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's just a fantasy that people want to believe because it's their side. Mm-hmm. You know, like these Moms for Liberty and that whole bunch of junk. They're all about Christian liberty and all that. I said, well, what about some Muslim Moms for Liberty? How would they react to that? Because don't they deserve the same liberty that the Christian moms have?
Yeah, they do. And it's just a... It kind of goes back a lot to white people, you know, where equality is somehow a blow to them. You know, equality is unfairness to a lot of white people in this country. When you talk about leveling the playing field, you know, we saw it a lot in the Montgomery mayoral race recently, when a lot of the problems that a lot of those white business owners had there wasn't that they were being treated unfairly, it's that they were being treated fair. That all of a sudden the black business owners were getting the same treatment as the white guys were, and they didn't know how to take it. That's kind of the same way we're talking about with the Christian nationalism stuff here.
And what bothers me is that men and women died, gave their lives for the Voting Rights Act. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just a few years ago, they struck down preclearance and all that stuff, thinking that the South had changed. The South has not changed. Hmm. Now they want to get rid of the part of the Voting Rights Act that has fair redistricting.
Well, and what they're trying to set up here is if Alabama is successful and Kavanaugh does change his mind, that opens the door for Texas, Arkansas, all these other racist states.
It's a backdoor around policy making. Okay, that's all it is. It's a backdoor around governing. The Republican Party right now is struggling to govern. They don't have policies that are popular with the majority of the American people. And so to do, in order to maintain control, they have to do things like this. It's that simple. I mean, really, if your policies were popular, you wouldn't have to do this.
And people need to put, I know this is a boring subject for most folks, but you need to understand it. We were talking with someone we work with this week and explained to her what redistricting meant and the fact that her district was drawn in such a way that if she voted Democrat, her vote really didn't count. And she was furious. She had no idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing that bothers me is that this is not the Republican Party that I grew up around and knew. They wanted to limit government. let states do their own thing and let people vote. And now we have a party that really is more of a sort of fundamentalist populist movement, which, as Mike Pence called, is the siren song of populism and the downfall of democracy. But
we're gonna have to leave right there.
You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
As a paramedic, you wouldn't believe the things that we've seen.
I've seen all types of horrible things.
I mean, we're there basically picking up the pieces from your worst day.
Everyone is just driving and not paying attention.
We all have the same goal. All of us want to go home alive and safe and harm nobody else in the process.
Slow down. Be careful. Care about the other people on the road. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
Today, Montgomery is a safer city. It's time to shift the narrative and take control of our future. We're reopening community centers, remediating blight, and revitalizing neighborhoods across the city. And we're unleashing new opportunities. Over the past year, companies have invested a record-setting $2 billion in Montgomery and created 2,000 jobs. This is a new Montgomery. And together, we're reimagining the possibilities.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. And I want to say this. There is nothing wrong in this world with being a conservative. There is nothing wrong in this world with being a liberal. Those are different sides of a coin that has helped shape this country for 236 years. And I don't think either one is bad. Mm-hmm. I think they're just different. Mm-hmm. And in the past, we were able to compromise and make things happen. There are people now who refuse to compromise and think it's their way or the highway. And one of the groups that is doing that is called, Clean Up Prattville, which is comprised, believe it or not, of young people that work in Montgomery in government. One woman works at Medicaid. Another guy that's been involved, he works with Chief Justice Tom Parker. You've got people that actually, I think, that it's conflict of interest. But what they're trying to do, Susan, is go in and ban books at public libraries. Mm-hmm. And they tried to do this in Prattville. They made a big deal out of it. They want to ban the books. And they had this whole scheme, but it didn't work.
It didn't work. There's a list of 40-something books. I think there is. I'm sure most of these people haven't even read those books or even the synopsis for it. But the scheme was to go in and actually have the city council take over the library.
Yeah.
I mean, they were going to go as far as the mayor and the city council taking over the library, but it failed in a vote, I think, of 4-3 this week.
Yeah.
And it's not going to happen.
But Josh, this is happening all over the country. It's just now come to Alabama, and these people have a scheme to not only take over the library, their local libraries, but they want to ultimately take over all the libraries by legislation and criminalize librarians and teachers.
You know, I sit around sometimes and I think, God, wouldn't it be nice to have nothing to do and so I could think up stupid like this to do all day long? You know,
beep.
Sorry. I mean, honestly, you know, libraries haven't changed. Libraries haven't changed in our lifetime. Your lifetime, my lifetime, they haven't changed. They offer books on a variety of topics. They have young adult sections. They have adult sections. They have children's sections. And there are books in those sections that children can go and check out. All right? This argument about how, oh, my God, there's this sexually explicit books. Yeah, well, one of them's the Bible. But there are also other books in there that talk about sexual situations and about how to treat people and books about gender, and there are books about race, and there are books, all sorts of things that can be used by kids and their parents to learn about things. We have some of those books. I have a 5-year-old daughter who's had questions about whether or not two girls can be married. You know, we've had these conversations at a 5-year-old level. You know, we're not having deep discussions, but there are books out there that kind of help explain some of that stuff that we found to be very helpful. And the libraries carry those books. And it's not a detriment to society. It's an aid to society. And if you don't want your children to check out those books, go to the library with them. How's a 5-year-old getting in there by themselves anyway, you know?
Right, driving the Barbie mobile down there.
I mean, for God's sakes, people, what are you talking about? This is the stupidest thing imaginable. Shut up.
And the thing is, there's so much misinformation, Susan. The children, you know, 12 and under, they can't go to the library on their parents are supposed to be with them.
Well, this is another situation where parents are wanting somebody else to raise their children. Okay, you can't go to the 5-year-old cannot go to the library without the parent.
Right.
A responsible parent wouldn't let a 12-year-old go and pick out books by themselves. But my highlight of the week on this very subject is in their literature, they actually quoted Adolf Hitler saying, "He alone who owns the youth gains the future." Let that sink in for a minute or two.
Well, and they quoted Hitler. Jacob Holmes over at APR pointed that out. They have not apologized. It seems like they're proud of it. But Jonathan, I want to show a quick clip of a former council member from Prattville who is leading the charge, one of the guys leading the charge with Clean Up Prattville.
But I can assure you, for your audience, they might have won the battle, but they're not going to win the war. There's more fight ahead.
That's your leader, Josh.
Yeah.
That's your leader.
You know what? I don't think it's that they want someone else to raise their kids. I think the issue here is they want everybody else's kids to be subjected to the same sort of limited learning that they're subjecting their children to.
Well, that's a good point.
And they want to ensure that their children aren't stumbling across some truth somewhere down the line, and that they may learn that, you know, gay kids and transgender children aren't horrible demons out there that are affecting all the world. But they are, in fact, people that should be treated with kindness and respect and dignity as well. And so I think that's where the issues fall.
Well, and I'm afraid they're going to try to get legislation passed. I hope Governor Kay Ivey and Nathaniel Ledbetter and Greg Reed, the pro tem and the Speaker of the House, are smart enough to see that these are just some loud mouths. And a minority.
They are a minority.
And more of us.
Hey, there are more of us. Speaking of loudmouths, Steve Marshall, of course, who wants to end the Voting Rights Act, also is wanting to put a bounty on women's heads. Anybody that helps a woman cross state lines to get an abortion in any way, he wants to hunt them down and put them in prison. Susan, great idea?
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. First of all, how are you going to enforce it? But enough is enough with this abortion thing, Steve. Just get off of it and go do your job.
Well, but see, he thinks his job is running for his next highest office. But I mean, Josh, the idea of pro-life was never to punish women, to never try to incarcerate good people that are in bad situations. But that's exactly what Marshall has revealed, and a lot of them have revealed. They don't care. They want to punish women.
Well, I got a question. So if I give my neighbor $20 for when he heads up to Tennessee this weekend to buy some lottery tickets, can I be arrested for the same conspiracy?
According to Steve Marshall, I guess so. Yeah, I guess so.
It's weird. I mean, there are dozens of examples like that, buying alcohol in dry counties and things like that. And, it's just... it's weird that we're focused on this one issue. It's almost as if there's some political advantage to be gained here.
Yeah. Well, and I think Marshall is one of those men who actually hates women, and this is really a deep-seated thing with him. He hates women, so he wants to punish them.
I agree completely.
I don't think it goes much past him wanting to seek higher political office and appease some people that are going to find
that. He's a much darker character than he's a very dark person. Anyway, you're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
Your home is your most valuable asset. But what if someone tried to steal it from you? Property fraud is one of the fastest growing areas of fraud in the country today.
As a district attorney, I've seen firsthand the devastating effects of property fraud. That's why I'm proud to support the Montgomery County Probate Court's REACT program.
REACT is designed to protect your property and to give you peace of mind. By signing up, you'll receive an email notification if a document is filed against your property.
This program is a game changer. It has the potential to prevent fraud and protect countless homeowners throughout Montgomery County.
So don't wait. Sign up for REACT today and protect your home.
Protect your home with REACT. Sign up today.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Roads and bridges. Josh, we all drive a lot.
Yep.
And everybody complains about the roads and the bridges. And Governor Kay Ivey and the legislature has been trying to do something about it. But people still complain, you know, because their pothole doesn't get filled up fast enough, or their lanes don't get widened fast enough, or the way they want it. But, you know, they had a thing this week over in West Alabama, where they're widening the 59 to a four lane. Governor mm-hmm. Ivey now says that they're gonna widen I-65 and that she can actually walk and chew gum at the same time. But that's not enough for some folks, they want more. But again, we're putting a lot of money, Susan, into roads and bridges.
We have to, if we're going to attract industry here, they have to be able to move their products and in a safe way. So it's very important to make sure that our infrastructure is in place, that our bridges aren't falling down, that our roads aren't, you know, all of a sudden developing big potholes or, you know, washing away in a flood. It's very important, and she's been dedicated to that all along. That's where this started, with the gas tax, in order to have the money to be able to do just these such things.
And misquoted there, it's US 43 and State Route 69.
Mm-hmm. It's going to add about 80 miles to that.
Yeah, but that's a congested area over there. I know some people think it's not, but that Tuscaloosa and those folks over there, they need that. But Josh, again, why do we always complain when we're getting roads and bridges? Because we complain when we're not getting roads and bridges.
Yeah, sure. It's, you know, everybody wants their own little piece of the pie. And, you know, I guess we should also, you know, thank the Biden administration, because a lot of the money is also coming from the federal government through the infrastructure plan, and also Terry Sewell, who was our lone you know, congressional person to vote for this for those packages. And it's always nice to, you know, to thank the federal government when they're sending the money. I know we don't want it and we don't need their help, but, you know, it's always nice that we get it. Yeah, you know, listen, I think there's also a lot of racism that's kind of involved in the complaining and moaning that's going on over here, because these roads that are being expanded over into West Alabama, they go through the Black Belt. They've talked about it being an economic boom for the Black Belt area over there. And suddenly there's a whole chorus of people that are like, hey, well, there's better ways to spend this money, you know, than just putting it through the Black Belt. What's over there? You know, why would anybody want to travel over that way? Well, yeah. That's the reason why you build up the roads and the infrastructure, so people will travel over there, yeah. and give, you know, give some reason for businesses to locate into those areas that have historically been very economically depressed because of racist practices by our government over the years. I mean, for God's sake, it's the same area that we've gotten sued by the federal government because they're straight piping a sewage out into yards. That's what we're talking about. We're fixing an area that desperately needs an economic boost.
I mean, we're talking about simple stuff also, like school buses that can't get to school children to pick them up. They have to go around for, you know, 30 extra minutes, which makes basically an hour, because a bridge is not solid enough for that bus to travel across.
Well, and look, they're still trying to beat up on Director John Cooper over this bridge that he's building. Some outlet this past week said it was a bridge to nowhere. Did you look at a a map of the bridge because it goes from one point to the next, and it's necessary to connect the beach communities.
Well,
but it didn't. The facts didn't matter. It was slamming John Cooper.
The thing that is very important with that bridge in particular is getting people off that island or off those across that bridge to get to hospitals.
Yeah.
You know, when they're having an emergency or being able to be evacuated when there's another hurricane coming. We're in hurricane season now.
Well, Josh, they cared. The Baldwin County Bridge Company cared so much about the people of Alabama and not having to, get tolls and all. They just really wouldn't come build another lane, and they were rah-rah. What'd they do right after the court ruled against them?
No, they doubled the toll. I didn't really understand.
That was
I understand
so
kind of the overall point of the article that was kind of taking the Aldott to task about the bridge, that they said, you know, it's basically feeding the same roads into the same roads. But the major difference being, you're going to alleviate the traffic on the non-toll bridge by creating another non-toll bridge.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems like a pretty big no-brainer. The reason the people aren't taking the toll bridge as much right now is because there's a toll. And it's going to be a bigger bridge.
One thing we're sure of, that people were never happy.
No.
That's okay. It's interesting. I read an article in the National Public Radio, NPR, about John Wall, the chairman of the ALGOP. And I thought Republicans hated National Public Radio. I thought it was a communist socialist plot. But anyway, John Wall, I think, is a very nice guy.
Oh, I love John Wall.
And,
he's great.
And that may be to his advantage that he would actually went and spoke with NPR. He's 37. He's young. Looks to have a bright future. But one of the things in the article he talked about was that one of his goals is to reach out to black individuals in Alabama and try to bring them into the Republican Party and reach out to young people, because young people are trending more and more Democrat or independent. They are not trending Republican. But I think it's a worthy goal. But my question is, Susan, how do you attract black people and young people to the Republican Party when you want to rid schools? We talk about woke ideology like it's some sin, CTR like it's something
CRT.
Worse than huh?
CRT
like it's something worse than herpes, and you beat on LGBTQ kids and transgender kids who these kids are growing up with and like.
And DEI, let's not forget that. The young people are not interested in this. I'm sorry to break it to you, John. You're an intelligent guy, but
they're currently before the Supreme Court trying to kill the Voting Rights Act to keep black people from voting. What are you talking about, man? Stop it. Yeah. Good luck. Good luck with your mission.
Yeah.
I mean, when I read that, I was just, I said, you know, you would have to change your policies to be more inclusive. But the other problem, we only got about 6 seconds here, is there's not enough organized Democrats to actually pull them in. But again, what we're seeing nationally is a trend, even in the South. Young people are trending Democrat. Blacks are always going to trend Democrat as long as you have an exclusive party that goes after things like CRT and DEI and wants to marginalize black voters. But there you go. All right. You've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because we watch them. We'll be right back.